before I do anything at all, can you all join me in wishing the flight deck a happy 40th birthday? What's cracking? James Flight Deck Kelly, the biggest head in the world, 40 years old. A legend was born 40 years ago today. Happy birthday, head. Omaha. At James 4 Kelly on Twitter. Hit him up. Kelly with an E. At James 4 Kelly on Twitter. Happy freaking birthday, big head.
Idiot kicker.
Love this guy. 40 years ago today, a legend was born. And the jungle would not be where it is right now without James Kelly.
That's right.
Welcome to the program. It's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Big, big day here in the jungle. Well, for one, James Kelly was born 40 years ago today. Also, first hour is wide open, so if you want to use that to wish him a happy birthday or compliment him on the circumference of his head, go right ahead. Coming up in hour number two, we go back-to-back. Will Brinson, a CBS Sports NFL insider, joins me. John Morosi, also in hour number two. Austin Meadows, an outfielder with the Tampa Bay Rays, joins me in hour three. In addition to celebrating the fact that the head was born 40 years ago today, we are now 17 days until the smack-off. We have another player profile. Today, Mike in Indy. And I want to talk about the sweetening of the pot we added to the prize yesterday. I've got thoughts on that, too. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up right now. Open phones in hour number one. 1-800-636-8686. Do not wait on me. Get up in here. 17 days till the smack off. Make me want to take your call that day. I've got more people that we'll be able to get to. It's not guaranteed you'll get in. Even if you're in the field, even with the invite, it is not guaranteed that you'll get on the air. Make me want to take your call that day. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Let's start with some hockey. If I'm talking hockey, that means I need sound. But Alvy, skip the horn. Hit me with some Gloria. Damn straight. After getting hammered in Game 3 and being left for dead, the St. Louis Blues are back. Not dead, can't quit. Not dead, can't quit. And anybody who knows anything about this crew should have known they'd bounce back after the Bruins hit them with that beatdown in Game 3. Because they've come back against everybody from everything all season long. And once again, we have ourselves a series. Like, it was not that long ago that St. Louis had that 2-0 lead in Game 1. Then they promptly imploded, allowing four straight goals to lose. At that point, that's distracting, Alvin. Thank you. They get much better. They get out to a 2-0 lead in Game 1. They allow four straight goals to lose. And then the thinking then was, they had a nice run. That's a cute little story. But let the experienced pros take over from here. But then St. Louis comes back. They win Game 2. They out-Bostoned Boston. They win in overtime. They rip the home ice. And then you remember, this is who they are. This is what they do. They were coming back home with a tied series and a city that was absolutely on fire for them. That barn was about to explode before Game 3. But then they give up four straight goals to start that game. They get run out of their own building. 7-2. Again, another example of them having not been in this position in five decades and looking the part. So everything was riding on last night. They had to have it. Everybody was in that building. John Hamm was in that building. Hell, St. Louis Blues icon Wayne Gretzky was in that building. Florida Marlins legend Mike Piazza was hyped to see Blues legend Wayne Gretzky repping the Blues last night. Gotta love St. Louis claiming and owning Gretz as his own. Or Gretz owning St. Louis as his own. But perhaps more important than 99 being in the house, albeit a Blues legend that he is, a real, a true Blues legend was there as well. A guy who actually meant something to that franchise. Brett Hull was in that building. And more importantly, Hully was on the mic. Holy crap. I thought the Golden Brett was going to lose a golden lung on that one. That's a tremendous yell. There's some serious pipe. Alvin, one more time. Let me hear that.
Are you ready? Let's go, Blues!
Now that's a Blues legend right there. That's how you do that. So if you've got those fans and you've got that guy and that screen behind you, there's no way you're not ready when the puck drops. No way you come out flat. No way you're back on your heels. And the Blues sure as hell were ready. They look nothing like that crew that they did when they hit the ice in Game 3. You know the best way to respond to a 7-2 curb stomping at home? The best way to respond? By doing this less than 1 minute into the next game.
Canceled off immediately. Recovered and got it on back there for...
Ryan O'Reilly on the wraparound. But that start was not just about that goal. It was about all the lumber. It was about the hits. They had 11 of them inside the first 6 minutes and 10 seconds. The refs were letting them play. The Blues made it pretty clear. If they were going to go down, the Bees were going to get the hands. But then Boston tied it just over 13 minutes into the first. St. Louis then responded with this from Vladimir Tarasenko.
Getting the lone man in. Sausage to the middle. Comes to the blue line. Pietrangelo shoots. Rebound. He scores! Tarasenko put in the rebound. Stick side on Rask. And the Blues regain the lead.
So 2-1. They bounce back. They're back out in front. But then things got ugly in the second period. And by ugly, I mean Zdeno Chara took a shot to his face. Now, as tough as that dude is, as big as that dude is, I thought my man might bleed out right there on the ice. Check the bucket of blood that dude pours onto the ice.
Kicked that puck down, kept it in, took a shot that's blocked by Chara, and he's hurt. And he's had the puck come up, and looks like it hit him in the face. Listen, the big man went down in a hurry.
Stick came right on the sort of tape-to-tape on the shooter, Shen. Meets it at the same time, and it goes right up and hits him right in the mouth.
But off on his own steam, and sort of shook the trainer off as he was on his way out.
Good news for the Bruins. Zdeno Chara has come out to start the third period wearing a full shield to protect whatever damage occurred when he took the
whatever's left of his face
and whatever work he had done to fix it.
Still looking through.
Comes out with a full shield to protect, quote, whatever's left of his face. I understand hockey is a really, really fast game. Really fast. I love this notion that it looks like he may have been hit in the face. What was your first clue? That he went down like he got hit with a bazooka blast? That he was pouring blood from his face? Yeah, I know, hockey fans. I know. Hockey players are the toughest guys on the planet. I don't need you to come in here and tell me that. You know I love hockey. I don't need hockey fans to come flying over the boards every time a player deals with an injury to let me know how tough they are. I already know. Your brand is not on the line. Not with me. I get it. Chara, one of the toughest dudes on the planet. I get that too. This guy skates off, spitting blood onto the ice, goes to the dressing room, slaps a fishbowl on his face, and then comes back to the bench. No, he didn't get back in the game. But you have to believe that probably was not his choice. In fact, returning to the bench just to support his teammates with that fishbowl taped to his face shows a serious level of badassery. Like if that were me, and my face had just been smashed like his was, I'm getting the docs to hit me with some horse tranks, and I'm going to see y'all back in Boston. Or maybe never again. Or I'm still lying on the ice, even as we speak. But not this guy. According to his teammate, Brandon Carlo, Chera couldn't speak, but he still wanted to be there. Quote, obviously, his mouth has some blood. I don't know what's going on in there, but he can barely talk, and he's out here supporting us. End quote. Yeah, I know what's going on in there. He's missing like half the teeth that he started the game with. Dumped out gallons of blood. I know exactly what's going on in there. So yeah, he's tough as hell. So tough that I'm going to overlook the fact that Tarasenko went with one of the all-time great flops last night in a move that was not exactly tough as hell. That was almost as bad as what happened to the Blues in the second period. No, the Bruins did not blitz them again on the power play like they did in Game 3. Remember, when they had four power play goals on four power plays on just four shots, they didn't do that. But they did get a shorty against them to tie that game up at two, which is just as bad. There's nothing more demoralizing than that. That's the kind of thing that sucks the life out of a building and gives a veteran team like Boston the momentum they need to steal the game, put the final nail in the coffin, and rip that series. But again, we're talking about the not dead, can't quit St. Louis Blues. Ice zombies. You cannot kill these guys. Not when that city is not having it. Not when you've got 18,000 screaming bread holes going in on 20 dudes in white. How the hell are you going to win that fight if you're the Bruins? The answer is you're not. And who was there with the dagger? None other than the guy who got it all started, Ryan O'Reilly.
Has had a lot of Chara-like minutes and responsibilities in this game. Brought back on by Petrangelo. Fires! Struck away.
Let's not leave that rebound out there like that. That was perfect. Attacking the net, crashing the net with speed, looking for a rebound that should never have been out there like that, and then absolutely burying it. Textbook hockey. Textbook Blues hockey. St. Louis adds an empty netter, and now they go back to Boston tied up at two games apiece. And here is a fired up, carefully edited game summary from their head coach in the dressing room.
Great bounce back game, boys. That's f***ing work ethic and f***ing team hockey there tonight. Just the structure of our game is unbelievable with our F3, our f***ing aggressiveness, hounding, putting pucks in deep and on that defense. They couldn't have it. They wore them right down. And that's what you got to keep doing. We stayed out of the box. We were really good with our discipline tonight. It was excellent. After the whistles, there's no s***. Good stuff there. One game, let's end it, let's f***ing enjoy it for a little bit, and then we end it and get going, okay?
Greg Berube. Let's bleeping enjoy it for a little bit, and then we end it and get going. So the question is, as I end segment number one, how is St. Louis going to deal with that success? We know their game can travel. We know they can win in Boston. They can easily be coming back to St. Louis for Game 6 with a 3-2 lead and a chance to win the Cup at home. But these same Blues have always been at their very best with their backs against the wall all season long. Their best has come out when everybody counted them out. Can they do it when the series is tied? Can they deal with prosperity? Can they get it done Thursday night and bring it back to St. Louis on Sunday? It would be awesome. Because as good as the final has been, as much as I want this thing to go 15 games, I can't imagine what that city would be like all weekend with a chance to win the Cup at home. Something tells me Brett Hull can find a few more decibels if they need him to. Get some, Hully.
Are you ready? Let's go, Brett!
What would be better than St. Louis Blues icon Wayne Gretzky being in the house for them to win it all? What's going to happen, St. Louis? Do I love hockey? Not only did I do the entire open on hockey, I went fat in the open on hockey.
Fat?
Now it's tied. Two games apiece. All right, today I want to get into the NBA Finals, the series shifting back to Oakland. That bum-ass Aubrey's got to go back to Oakland. Problem is, the Warriors are busted up. Who are they going to have? Who's going to take the floor? What's going to happen when that series returns to Northern California? I said it after Game 1. This series is not over when everybody wanted to bury Golden State. I said it after Game 2 when Golden State ripped the home court. This series is not over. Trust me. It still feels to me like it's going to be a long series. We'll get into that. I want to do something now that I almost never do. In fact, I never do it. I want to talk Seattle Mariner baseball. There is a reason why I want to do that. And I will a little bit later on. And a lot more on the Silver Smackoff. Jeopardy James, done. Right when the guy was going to run by the all-time money winner, Ken Jennings. Jimbo is done.
Now I'm done.
Normally, I don't really get into that show unless they have a category on sports. And those nerds, those geniuses, flame, implode, embarrass themselves. That's... No, it's not Parker. Who is Parker?
Who is Parker?
No. No, not Parker.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Anyway, I've got a take on Jeopardy. Well, Jeopardy James. All that's still ahead. Let me get out. I am really late in this segment. I just busted the clock. So what happens when you head to your man cave? You want to watch a really important game. Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals. But you can't find the remote. Oh, there it is. No, wait. That's the DVD remote. The streaming remote. Where's the TV remote? It's time for Control Center by Cabo. The one universal remote that does it all. Control Center manages all your content, so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use, voice-controlled remote. Plus, you can turn on that TV from anywhere with the Cabo mobile app. Setup is easy. Just plug in your streamer, sound system, cable, or satellite. Enjoy your game console, and Control Center will handle the rest. Make life in the man cave easier with Control Center by Cabo. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with the one-year service plan included with the promo code ROAM. $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with the promo code ROAM. You have to go to CAAVO.com. Control Center is available at CAAVO.com. Best Buy service plan required. First 45 days are free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cabo. One remote that does it all. Control Center by Cabo.
Clock.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Little bear tooth if you need it, and I do. James Kelly getting all sorts of birthday love. All that coming up quickly. Let me ask you this. Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get better parts, better prices every day because they've got the parts you need to get the job done right. Everything you need from measuring tools, mechanic wire, motor oil to cylinders, starters, springs, from batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It is one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. And if you need something, the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. If you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or to a store. And if you want to buy even more stuff, become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member. You'll earn points every single time you shop. Reach 150 points, earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you'll get exclusive email-only offers, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. St. Louis getting it done. They had legends in the house. Blues legends, like Wayne Gretzky. At Pup Mask Up tweets, the Blues don't own Gretzky. I do. Signed Rich Flores. At Hedstrom Bacon tweets, memo to NBA players. So Daniel Chara, did not require a wheelchair or a stretcher to leave the ice last night. As I mentioned, hockey fan, you don't need to do that here. I already know. We already know. You don't need to be coming over the boards to defend the honor and the toughness of your guys. I already know. You're preaching to the choir. And Hitman Canadian tweets, Chara is a monster. That poor puck did not have a chance. And Mike D for three on Twitter. Let's go, booze! Signed, the Mississippi Queen.
My favorite thing about the Grove, hands down, is the alcohol. It's not always free, but it's always there. So yeah, alcohol, hands down. Answer your question.
Okay, but you can get that at the square, right?
My favorite thing about the Grove is getting to meet people and see everyone from other schools that you know, and you run into people, and it's, I don't know, it's just fun. It's like a big party. And
well, to me, it sounds like you don't care that much about school spirit.
I love school spirit, but, like, let's not get me wrong. Like, I wouldn't have school spirit without a couple of vodka waters.
Booze! He said, let's go blues. He didn't say, let's go booze. That was not the Mississippi Queen. That was Brett Hull. She's like, it's not always free, but it's always there. Sounds like you don't have a lot of school spirit. Oh, I do. No, don't get that twisted. I do. I just wouldn't have as much without the vodka. Hey, Jim, did you see Wayne Gretzky's lettuce last night? Looks like he went with the dark, warm brown. Sincerely, Paul Mitchell. Hey, man, the struggle is real for everybody. Speaking of which, hey, Rome, War Kids hitting James Kelly's head with a stick because they think candy will come out of it. Happy birthday, Flight Deck. He's already responded to me. Yeah, actually, he's responding to all of you through me. He said, hey, boss, can you pass this along? Thank you all. It is a milestone birthday. I am strongly considering pursuing my dreams and joining the City of Alhambra's Parks and Recreation Department. And Dasmati's still catching some heat. Ed Kirby in the 402 tweets, hey Jim, I look great and I don't feel a day over 70. Regards, James Kelly's hairline. He's not even here.
Slider,
you stink. And finally, hey Jim, we are so excited to welcome back our Golden State Warriors. After splitting two games in Toronto, they will play much better now that they have returned to the Bay Area and are sleeping in their own familiar beds here. Sincerely, San Francisco General Hospital. Signed, Denlesk's aspiring male nurse. War green jello, room temperature applesauce, and hospital room televisions mounted at the junction of the wall and the ceiling. Anyway, Lesks, I mentioned open phones in hour number one. When we come back, I want to get into game three. They got their split. They ripped the home court. Toronto blew a golden opportunity. But Golden State is busted up. Who's going to go? And of the guys that will go, how much are they going to be able to give? Can Toronto take advantage? We'll talk about that. Still ahead, also a player profile. Smack off player profile. Mike in Indy. Will he show? Can he find one person to give him $5,000 to be a part of a tandem call for the Silver Smack Off? I see you working, Mike. I know what you're up to. All you need is one guy, right? That's what you're thinking. All I need is one rich cat who wants to coattail and gravy train me. All of that's coming up later on in the program. But right now, I've got a sports update. Here's the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Time. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Halfway through hour number one. It is the Flight Deck's birthday. Let me circle back to something really quickly. Remember when we had Ben Mesrick on the show recently? Such good dude. Brilliant, brilliant author. His book is doing extremely well. Bitcoin Billionaires. And remember, Ben came in studio and we talked about that. We talked about Bitcoin. We talked about the Winklevi. We talked about cryptocurrencies. And I have to admit, I never had a great interest in it until Ben started to write about it. And then I started to research it. And then I read the book. And then I was fascinated by it. And I still don't have a great knowledge of it. But when Ben came in, he and I were talking before the show and during breaks. And maybe even got into it during the interview. And I said, do you own any? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, why not? He said, it's just really speculative. And you really don't know. It's almost like gambling. I mean, the thing could go to zero. I said, yeah, but you said it yourself. The Winklevi said it could go to 250 grand per coin. He's like, right. They believe that. They think that. Or it could go to zero. I said, I don't know, man. It's pretty interesting. He's like, hey, Jim, be very careful. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying I don't. I'm saying be very, very careful. I'm like, yeah, no, I get it, Ben. I get it. But. So I'm watching it. I can't lie. I bought some. And I'm not looking in any way to say anything at all, except to say I got a little bit of a coin. I don't have a full coin. I got a bit of a coin. Man, it's weird. It's addictive. And I found myself watching it and checking it. I want to hear from somebody who has a firm knowledge of cryptocurrency. I don't. Do you? So no, I'm not all about that life. I'm not spending a ton of time on that life. It feels like gambling to me. You know what? You know why it feels like gambling to me? It is gambling to me because I don't have a base or a fundamental knowledge of what's going on with it. But I thought it was interesting. Having read the book and talked to Ben and following it now, it's a whole different world. Hey, Rome, you're pretty smart. Way to jump in at $8,000 a coin. I didn't buy a coin. And who knows? You know, maybe top of the market. Maybe it goes to zero. Maybe it goes to $1 million like that one wacko said it would. Then who's going to be laughing? Anyway, I'm just kind of curious. Did you buy the book? Did you like the book? And did you get involved? Did you buy anything after you read the book? Just kind of curious to me. And Ben has said, I don't own any. I do not own any. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, I'm here for all your crypto advice. Let me have it, clones. Set me straight. All right, let's go back to the NBA Finals for a minute. You know, there was a sense among some that when the Warriors won Game 2 of the Finals, they had actually won the Finals. That they already had the Larry O in their hands, and it was just a matter of scheduling the parade. I mean, right? They were going back to Oakland tied up at one game apiece. They had ripped the home court. They got right. Kevin Durant was about to come back. It was over for Toronto. It was just a matter of getting the injury update from the team and then figuring out whether or not you would beat Toronto in 5 games or 6. But then the injury update from the team did come. And it read like this, quote, Warriors guard Klay Thompson, who exited last night's game 2 of the NBA Finals with 7:59 remaining in the fourth quarter due to left hamstring tightness, underwent an MRI exam today in the Bay Area. The MRI indicated a mild strain of the hamstring. At this point, Thompson is listed as questionable for Game 3 on Wednesday. The report went on. Forward, Kevon Looney, who did not play in the second half of last night's Game 2 of the NBA Finals due to an upper body injury, underwent an MRI exam today in the Bay Area. The MRI indicated that Looney has suffered a non-displaced first costal cartilage fracture. He will be out indefinitely. End quote. Yeah, that's not the injury update that Warrior fans were hoping for. They were hoping for some good news about Kevin Durant. Instead, they get news that Klay Thompson is questionable for tomorrow night. And as I said yesterday, I'm no doctor, but when I saw Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant busting on that, quote, bum-ass Aubrey in the tunnel after game 2, KD looked a hell of a lot more agile to me than Klay did. So, we might not see Klay in game 3. And it looks as if we won't see Looney, a guy that Steve Kerr had previously called a foundational piece, for the rest of the series. So maybe we focus on that for a minute instead of conspiracy theories about Nike t-shirts and Toronto property purchases. You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, that's cool. You're fine. You're not really missing out, at least not yet. Because this sets up today as one of the most important off days of the Warriors season. Maybe one of the most important off days of the entire dynasty. Like, how does Klay look? How does KD look? Can one or both go tomorrow night? And if one or both can go, how much can they give? Or do they both miss out? You know KD wants to be out there badly. All you had to do was watch him in the hallway and see how fired up he was for his teammates to know how badly he wants to be out there and doing everything he can to lock up another ring, you know, to re-engage. For a guy who has allegedly already left Golden State, he sure seems anxious to get back into the fight with his guys. And we know Klay is doing everything he can between now and then to be ready to go tomorrow night. Don't confuse this dude's laid-back, cowy demeanor for any lack of grit or toughness. Dude would cut off his leg if he thought he'd have a chance to go tomorrow night. And if you really want to get into the weeds on it, there is camera phone footage of Klay and KD moving fairly well at the airport when the team plane finally did land after game two, which is encouraging. They look pretty good moving around, getting off the plane too. Except hamstrings and calves are funny, right? They are. And by funny, I mean they suck. You're better off jacking up your ankle than straining your hamstring or your calf. At least you can tape up an ankle and muscle through it. You can't muscle through a muscle strain. And even if you do get out there, it can give, it can go at any minute. Which means the Warriors have just over 24 hours to figure out how to handle this. And then on top of that, you need Steph Curry to get fully healthy. You need Andre Iguodala to get as close to healthy as you can get. And as effective as DeMarcus Cousins was in Game 2, and he was huge, he's still dinged in trying to come back from a couple of significant injuries. In other words, they're jacked up physically. Not that anybody is going to cry for the Warriors. Not that they're looking for any of your sympathy anyway. Oh yeah, you're going to be without two Hall of Famers, and now you'll have to go with three instead of the usual five. Yeah, not exactly the type of thing that's going to inspire any sympathy. But it is a problem. It's a problem. If KD and Klay are both out, exactly where do the points come from? And again, it's not just KD and Klay. It's also Looney. He's done for the finals. I mean, no mystery there, but that's a loss. That's a big loss now. He was turning into a defensive monster. He was comfortable guarding guys like James Harden on the perimeter. He was eating glass on the inside. Now they've got to go without him too. And again, it didn't matter in game two because DeMarcus Cousins turned in a legendary game. But can Boogie do it again? Can you count on him for another double-double in 28 minutes? That's a big, big ask for the big fella. Not saying he can't, but that was an epic performance. Can he match it? Can he exceed it? They may need him to. And can jungle and societal legend Andrew Bogut keep on giving you that presence on both ends? How does Toronto respond now that they've got time to prepare for that? Because you know Nick Nurse is going to work something up. He always does. So let me reiterate. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again right now. This series was not over after game one. It sure as hell is not over after game two, especially since we have no idea who's going to go Wednesday night and who won't, and even if they do, how much they can give. What I'm saying is popped hammies, jacked up calves, broken collarbones are not the blueprint for stopping the best two-way player in the game, Kawhi, from getting to his spots. This thing is not over. Far from it. We've got a series here. And while I'm sure the Dubs would like as much time as possible to get their guys right, I can't wait for tip-off tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Not over. Not over. Can't wait. 1-800-636-8686. All right, let's go to the phones. Open phones. Whatever you want to hit on is fine by me. Hit me up. Will Brinson coming up next hour. John Morosi next hour. Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Austin Meadows in hour number three. Let's go to Lake Tahoe. Dave in Lake Tahoe. It's good to have you, Dave. How are you?
I have some advice for coin collecting.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about it?
Yeah, please. What do you got?
Don't buy any cleaned coins. Do you want to write it down?
No, I got my pen out. I am writing it down. Why do I not want clean coins?
Because they don't grade. You want to get your coins graded. That's what makes money worth it. Okay? I have two grading societies you can use, okay? So the first thing is don't buy any cleaned coins. Is that okay to write down?
Got it. Done. What else?
And then there's two grading societies to get your coins graded. There are only two, and they're both worth the same. The first one is PCGS, those four initials.
PCGS.
Yes,
PCGS.
And that's Professional Coin Grading Society. PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Society.
PCGS. All right, so let me ask you this now, Dave. I mentioned cryptocurrency, and you're giving me advice on coin collecting. Are you and I talking the same language? Are we talking about the same sport?
I'm talking about coin collecting. I'm not talking about any Bitcoin. I don't understand computers.
Oh, okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, well, no, not really, because I want to talk Bitcoin. All right, Dave, thank you very much. No, that's not helpful. I said Bitcoin. Is that helpful? No, that's not helpful. I'm not collecting coins here. I own a part of a Bitcoin. I'm not a coin collector. I'm not out at the beach sifting sand with a metal collector. Any coins that I have either go into my ashtray in my car or into a giant empty plastic Sparklets bottle in my closet. No, I'm not collecting coins here, Dave. You misunderstood. That's not helpful. I said I had my friend, and yes, I called him my friend, Ben Mesrick on the show. He's written a book called The Bitcoin Billionaires. It's about cryptocurrency. I did mention I have very little knowledge of it, and is there anybody listening that might be able to help me out with that? Because against the advice of even Ben himself, I did buy part of a Bitcoin, not an entire coin. I do not own a coin. I bought a bit of a coin, a bit of a Bitcoin, and now I'm watching it, and I'm trying to learn about it, and I really don't know anything about it. So when I said, is there anybody out there with some advice, I get that. And then the guy says to me, are you writing it down? Is it helpful? Well, no. It's really not helpful. Dear Rome, I would put buying scuba gear to look for treasure on the ocean floor in the same class of investment as Bitcoin. 1 year and a 50% drop in value. In the meantime, your traditional mutual funds were up about 10% in 2019. If you want to be a criminal or a degenerate online gambler, be a Bitcoin guy. Otherwise, ride the hot market while saving in traditional secure stocks, funds, and bonds. And you better don't ever forget cash is king. Unwear Bitcoin. Signed, Damasio in Albuquerque. Damasio. Okay, now that does help. But you're not telling me anything I didn't already know. Tell me something I did not already know. Damasio, just so you know, not that I need to tell you my entire portfolio, I didn't take all the money I have and buy Bitcoin. I just said to you, I bought a small piece of one single Bitcoin. I do have those other things that you mentioned. Not that we need to talk portfolios, but I do have some stocks and some funds and some bonds and some cash and some horses and some real estate and one tiny little piece of one coin. By the way, bro, you're not more helpful. The guy who just told me to buy clean coins was more helpful, Damasio. Stucknut. Damn it, Hawk. Where do you find these callers, right? Stay tuned. Second hour straight ahead.